Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality, and is about discovering your place in this great universe, from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life, and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show, Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here. Today, we are going to be talking about happiness, prosperity, and religions. There are so many different religions these days in the world, yet there's so much infighting in the world, and we all say we're looking for happiness, we're looking for love, we want to bring peace to the earth, yet we're saying that politics is commanding how my daily life reacts and how things are going on around me. We say our religions is what we believe and what we turn around and say, that's a commandment for my life and that's what it is. Yet we see all the differences in each other, yet we don't see what is actually common in each other. And that's what we'll be talking about today. How can we bring some more peace to the earth and look at our religions and say, they're not as different as we think they are. They may just be, have a common thread, and how can we work with that common thread to be able to coexist in this world and not have so much dissonance? My guest today is Sheree Brown. Her book is The Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity. Sheree, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, Sheree. You know, I think this is definitely the time of, I guess, of life, as we would call it, of evolution, where, you know, everybody seemed to be in the same area where you were, and everybody had the similar religion. But now that the world has expanded and we know everything about, it seems, the whole globe, we see all of the differences of everyone, and we have to a lot of infighting, I think, in the world. So I'm not sure where our world is going, and I think you could share a light on that, about these different religions and how we have a common goal, correct?
Right, right. The religion has become, a tool for people to play the politics. If you read all the three commandments and how God communicated through his prophets to us, you will see that if you, all of the three books, the similarity of Quran and Old Testament and New Testament outweighs the differences. Now, I have consolidated all the commandments, 10 commandments of Jesus, Moses, 12, 2 commandments of Jesus, and 7 commandments of Moses. There are 19. I disposed of the similarities and came up with 7 commandments that are really easy to follow. And once, if you read, or if anyone reads all the three books, they realize that these religions are woven together. And basically what Quran says is that I sent you Moses, you did not listen to him. I sent you Jesus, you did not listen to him. And now I'm giving you the book. He sent that book for the Arab nation who were illiterate and they were worshipping different gods.
Right.
Basically, God wants to tell us in very simple language how to be righteous. He's teaching us how to be righteous. But unfortunately, religion has been used for political purpose from the time Muhammad died, from the time Jesus died, or Moses. These differences occurred after the death of these three prophets. But if you take the sayings of all each one of these prophets, you'll see that they are so similar. The difference is what men made them different. Hundreds of years after the death of these prophets, these books were written. Those days, because there were no printing, everybody was copying, and when they wanted to copy, everyone somehow they improvised and they added their own idea to every copy. Then, for 30 years, a person named William Hill studied all of the writings and made it to a printing copy. That was when printing came about. And he improvised whatever he couldn't read from all the writings that he had written.
Well, Cherie, let's go back to the beginning, because when we say about religion and politics, we think about what came first, you know, did politics or did religion? And really, obviously, you know, that, you know, the belief of something greater than us is what came first. And yes. Then as it came out is religion and politics just seem to be the struggle between good and evil, you know. Politics was, I'm going to rule over you and you're going to do it my way and shake the finger. And then you had religion where it says, no, something that you can't see, touch, taste, or know is God, and you're going to do it my way because that is the holy way. So really that confrontation really started so very long ago. So in your book, you actually talk about what is religion. And, you know, I grew up Roman Catholic, but someone had said to me just recently, they said, are you religious or spiritual? And I said, whoa, I didn't really understand or where that was coming from. And what they were really asking was, is did I believe in following all of the rules that they believed, or was I someone that just believed in something greater that they couldn't believe in? You know, and
right.
I kind of sat back and says, well, I guess I'm really both, because, you know, I do believe in the way that things, you know, we should be, but I also believe that there's a greater power over all of it. In other words, you know, Roman Catholic religion gives you all of these rules, and you say, well, I think that some of these rules might not be, like the Roman Catholics might be overreaching, you know, the priest can't really tell me to do that because that really wasn't in the original, you know? And the overreaching part, I think, with politics. So can you share, you know, how you talked about what really is religion and, you know, that controversy of a religious versus a politicians, you know, or spiritual?
Right. We are all come from spirit, and we
right.
are all going back to the spirit. God's communication was through Moses, the Ten Commandments. Everything else in the Old Testament or New Testament or even Quran had to change, evolve with the time. For instance, when Jewish people in Sinai were supposed to not have any leftovers, the reason behind it was because there was no refrigeration over there at that time. So religion changes. The only thing that is strong and we have to have total faith is what comes out of the three prophets' mouth. The Ten Commandments is nothing to be changed. Jesus comes and summarizes the Ten Commandments in two commandments of love and peace. And they call Muhammad the seal of the prophet because he came and completed the religion. For instance, when Muhammad came and got rid of the sorcery, because during the Jewish time, there were a lot of sorcerers. He made his own commandments, which were basically saying that what the religion, what completes the religion. That's what Muhammad says. What Moses said about the Ten Commandments, that's basically the message. What Jesus said about the commandments, that's basically the religion, the love. That's all it is that we have to know from our hearts, and we have to realize that everything else in the Bibles have changed somehow because they were written by people after these prophets passed away. All of these commandments, when I consolidated those 19 commandments to 7, I disposed of the similarity of the redundancy and came up with 7, very easy to follow, and there is nothing else that we need to concern ourselves with. Why do we answer our telephones during the Shabbat or other things? These are not really sinful things to do. The only sinful things is not following the commandments. And Muhammad says in Quran that if you don't commit the big sins, I will forgive you the small sins. He says it in Quran. There is basically Muslims after Muhammad, none of these Abu Bakr became Khalifat. Muhammad never said anything about Khalifat. Jesus never said anything about Christianity because he was a Jew. And Moses had the 10 commandments that he had, that we know of. So when Muhammad and Moses and Jesus have 7 commandments that we cannot change. There is nothing in the 7 commandments that is really difficult to follow. It's very easy to follow them. And this is all God wants. Even prayers, for instance. In the Quran, it says, if you don't do Shabbat, do 5-time prayers. The end of Quran, because it took 40 years for him to recite Quran, and because he was illiterate, he recited it just like Homer did with his Ulysses. He recited Quran, and the basic and the juice of the whole religion is to be living a righteous life. For instance, when he talks, even the word jihad should be obsolete now, because every bloodshed in the Bible and Old Testament, New Testament, and Quran has been for unbelievers. Nothing has been for people who believe. Therefore, when somebody wraps a bomb or runs into the Twin Towers, he is killing all the Muslims, because Muhammad calls Moses a Muslim and Jesus, because the word Muslim in Arabic means submission to the higher power. That's all it means. So everybody should submit to the higher power. When they run into the Twin Tower and kill all the Muslims, according to their own book, they are the attackers, and the people in Twin Towers are the martyrs. All the people who were beheaded for no reason, they're martyrs, because they didn't even have time to defend themselves. Jihad in Quran is for unbelievers attacking believers because of their religion, because they believe in one God. That is, and then if they defend themselves, in the midst of defending themselves, they die, that's a martyrism. So for them to attack people without even giving them a chance to defend themselves or beheading people. This is the this is only murderers killing innocent people that believe in God, because I believe most everyone believes in one God now. That is when these people are attacked, these ISIS or all of these religions from the time Khomeini came to Iran during revolution, because I really saw the history being made. They started saying death to America. There was no America when Muhammad was alive. What kind of an Islam, what kind of a Muslim they are? What kind of a Muslim in Arabic, the way it means, it's definitely they're defying Quran. These are people who have been brainwashed. And since Arabic, first of all, Quran is written in a poetic way, so it's really difficult to understand it. So what they do, they take these little children, they raise them, they brainwash them, and they tell them you go to heaven. Whereas their own book says that these are the murderers and the people whom they killed because they were Americans or they believed in one God. Most people in Twin Towers were believing in one God. So they're the martyrs. They're the ones who go to heaven. These people are nothing but murderers. They're using the word Islam because as if it's a different world and different kind of people. No, all people should be divided, in my opinion, to believers and unbelievers. Judaism has more than one meaning. One is religion and one is ethnicity. Arabs are Muslim, believe in one God. Jews should believe in one God, and so does Christ was Muslim. That's how Muhammad said. For them to twist everything, to have an excuse, to attack people, to gain power, to gain worldly power and real estate or oil is definitely has nothing to do with God. These people have no idea about God. I don't think they even have read Quran, or they would, or understood it for that matter, or they wouldn't do such atrocity. We are sending people to war. They come back with missing one leg or eye or becoming the way they the atrocity, they kill them, all the casualty we're giving is really for nothing, because this is not what God wants. God wants everybody to be happy. But well, us people, yes.
Well, Cherie, do you think maybe as the times go on, what happens is that we see, or others see, people rising up and they say they have more power. They have what I want. They have prosperity. They have power. They have followers. And people start to gather together, and they increase their ego along with that person who is kind of like dragging them along. And when I really see, when we say martyrs, are the people who are martyrs sometimes in the place of overpowering ego? In other words, they are put in that point of being a martyr or a victim because there is so much ego that has confounded so much power. And as that echelon kind of grows, you just stand back and it's almost like it just comes barreling through. And that's how you end up with casualties. And then we say, how do you diffuse that that big ego ball and be able to diffuse that? And what you really say in your book, you know, to find God, you have to empty your ego. And a lot of times it's difficult to empty ego. When people feel less than, they want ego. They want power. They crave that following.
But they can't call themselves religion, because if you read, even if you read their own Quran, it says that when you attack somebody who that can't defend himself, the person who cannot defend himself is, even if he could defend himself and he got killed, he's a martyr. There, let alone people, innocent people in Twin Towers, thousands of them, get killed by one person who goes, I certainly just call them murderers. People who are seeking power, they cannot have anything to do with God. God doesn't, God is not ego. God is humble mm-hmm. and patience and righteousness, which mm-hmm. none of these people have. We are making a mistake calling these people even Muslim. We're giving them the satisfaction that Islam is like that. People misunderstand what Islam says because hardly anyone, any Christian or Jew reads Quran. None of the Muslims really, maybe a few, read all the three. Unless somebody reads all the three books and get out of it what it really means and understand it, then they realize what they're doing is nothing but ego, power, seeking right. for real estate. The Middle East is in a chaos. Everything is, people are getting killed there because the religion has often been misunderstood by these ignorant people.
And also, too, don't you think is that when they come back to revenge and rebel, it wasn't for us as human beings to be right. able to judge that. We aren't, should not be in that position of judgment. And I think that's another place where everything got, the scales got tipped.
Misunderstood, yes. When right. Muhammad died, the reason why they say Muhammad is the seal of the prophet is because all he did is completed the same way that Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments to two commandments. Muhammad came and completed those. He says there is one God. Most, 2/3 of Quran is about Jesus and Moses. He doesn't believe that Christianity or Judaism in the meaning of religion should be even a title because everybody should just submit to the higher power. The reason why they keep changing them by putting a title on this, Christianity, do you think that Christ wanted to flourish Christianity? He was a Jew. His Last Supper was a Jewish custom. So for the apostles or anyone after him bringing about Christianity and saying that this is different than what Moses said, that's already a sin. Mm-hmm. Jesus said exactly what Moses said. Except since evolution and since things change, time changes, he made it simpler. He said, okay, this is not really eating ham or pig is not sinful. It's what comes out of your mouth that is sinful. Instead, about 100 years after Christ dies, people who were so-called followers of him, people who wanted to make Christianity something different than what Moses said, they were burning people, they were force-feeding people pig. And if somebody did not want to, they would actually fry their bodies. They would cut the bodies and fry them. This has nothing to do with God. God is kind. God wants happiness for everybody. And God has one religion, and that's just his expectation from us human beings is to recognize him as being the omnipotent and the one power for all. Now, it's the human beings that wanted to differ this one from that one. And now we are in trouble because
right.
Islam specifically, because I was raised a Muslim and I converted to Christianity, and my husband is Jewish. I studied all the religions, and I see how greed and avarice is making these people seek for power. That alone is ungodly. You should never, ever think that Moses said something different than Jesus said something different and Muhammad said something different. They all say the same thing. If you read the Seven Commandments, you'll see that it's the differences, the similarity totally outweighs the differences between the religions. And what the difference is, is only because of time change. Because when time changes, some of these rules and regulations that they were for during Moses and during Christian and even during Muhammad have changed. The same thing about prayer. He says in Quran in black and white, if you don't do Shabbat, do prayers. At the end of Quran says, if you work all day and you can't do prayer during the day, five-time prayer, then do your prayers at night. That's why I say in my book that you should always be in a prayer mode, because when you read them and you take out of it what he means, it's that you should always pray to him, you should recognize him as the higher power, and follow his communication to us through these books and religions and prophets that he sent to us. There's nothing else. Right. Anything else is extra. Anything else is for ego, for politics, for real estate. You know, the whole Middle East fight has been going on forever. It's all about real estate.
You know, and I think that the event of social media and the event of troubles in the world has really gotten people's skewed to a really bad place. In fact, I was just speaking with someone this morning, and I said to them, are you mad at God? And the person said, I don't need God. That God didn't help me when things were good, and God didn't help me when things were bad, and I've been praying to God, and God just isn't doing what I want him to do. And I went, I just didn't even have any other comment. And then not 10 minutes later, I was looking at something on, of course, a social media page, and they're heading on this very popular newspaper. It says the three types of happiness. What are the three types of happiness? The three types of happiness is immediate materialism, or buying something and just going out on an experience, or maybe you should buy something that's really expensive because it'll give you happiness over the long run. And I'm going, how skewed have we become in this world to be able to even exist anymore? I mean, I think people have gotten so far over the ledge, I don't think that there's any coming back up without a real
understanding.
A real catechismal kind of thing, you know, a real, like, almost explosive of the earth, or the shattering of someone's beliefs, because it's just, at this point, that's the only thing that's going to put you back on the ledge.
Well, because nobody really understands what the message of Quran said. Everyone listens to the news and propaganda, and Muslims want to discredit Jewish people. Jews want to discredit this one and that one. None of these. These are Islam, Muslim, Christianity, and Judaism. These are titles. Basically, everybody should submit to God, to the higher power. That's the message of God. And prosperity is not just how much money you have in the bank. It's really mostly when you help other people. If you are blessed with money, if you help other people, if you pay the your dues to the needy and poor, that gives you a prosperity in your heart that you cannot exchange with any kind of materialistic things. Material you would attain it, in my opinion and my experience, only when you don't desire it, when you don't scheme it. The reason why the world is in chaos, because the religion is being used for achieving what kind of atrocity they do to each other. All these people getting killed in the wars that they don't even know why these wars start. This politics is so involved, and it's really not fair for them to call the murderers Muslim. This is really something that I'm totally against. These are not Muslims. After Muhammad died, basically Islam went to Abu Bakr because he was the governor and he had power and he had money. So basically Muhammad came for people like that. God said in Quran that Arab nation is a violent nation. They're bloodthirsty. I send you to correct them. Instead, after his death, somebody like Abu Bakr, who is bloodthirsty, they come, they kill everybody. They force-killed Islam into Iran by killing all the Zoroastrians, which incidentally the very first Bill of Rights was written 5,000 years ago by King Cyrus of Hakhamanishi dynasty. But then Muslims, Abu Bakri, which there already is like five different sects of Sunnis, three different sects of Shias, Christians have so many different branches. God only wanted to give us his message. He didn't really, there was no such a thing. Muhammad was not Sunni, he was not Shia. There is this person named Abdul Wahhab that makes a treaty with King Saud, and then they bring Islam, they kill everyone that is not Muslim. Jewish people, all of the bloodshed in the Bible has been over unbelievers versus unbelievers. None of it has been because this other person is Jewish and this other person is Christian. Because Jews, Christian, and Muslims, they all believe in one God. So one cannot go and discredit the other one and say, okay, because I'm a follower of Muhammad, now I have to kill followers of Christ. That's totally misunderstood, misconceived. And when people haven't read all the three scriptures, or they haven't understood them, because especially Quran, because it was written in a poetic way, it's very hard to understand, people get brainwashed and believe that if they go and kill Christians, they're going to go to heaven. There's no place in Quran that says that. There's no place in Quran that says that women have to cover their hair. There's no place in Bible. Christ never said, for instance, that Jews are going to come and kill me, because he was a Jew. He said sinners are going to come and kill me. Now, because they wanted to differentiate between Christianity and flourish it and say it's different from Judaism, they kept writing, after Christ died, they kept writing that Jews killed him. Jews didn't kill him. Homosexuality. None of the prophets really talked about homosexuality. None. And if Muhammad touches about, sheds a light on it very lightly, he said it is redeemable, meaning it's a small sin that can be forgiven. For them to come and say, we're going to hang all the homosexuals, that's not what God says. People who read Quran, they realize that they made up, and it's been so embedded, unfortunately, doctors, it's been so embedded in people's minds for so many years. They have practiced this falsehood about religion that even if you show them, I have shown some of these parts, especially about homosexuality, that is redeemable to people, and they still, it's hard for somebody that's been programmed. Descartes said, in order for human race to change, we have to deprogram them and then reprogram them.
Mm-hmm.
So they have been so programmed to listen to these mullahs about Islam, or, you know, some of the rabbis, really, even though Moses and Solomon's grandson, Asa, said that, kill every non-Jew. I don't see any rabbi run around killing other people. Nobody, there's no killing anymore, should be obsolete, because almost everyone believes in one God now. So well, for them to make this excuse so mm-hmm. they can gain power or their ego, satisfy their ego, we cannot be naive to believe that, or to say that Quran is saying that. No, let's read it and let's understand what it says, really. Without listening to people like ISIS, mm-hmm. who are nothing but murderers and evils, in my opinion.
Well, I think also, too, we see that many people are leaving the Catholic religion. They are finding it, its laws, its rules, its regulations don't move with the times. They don't, it doesn't stick with what we firmly believe. As you've said, you know, you talk about the seven commandments, which we will touch on a minute in your book. And really it's about that, you know, you care for other people. In other words, we don't want to, sometimes the religions go a little bit overboard into personal life when it really doesn't need to be there. They
no.
just need to focus on the basics and stick with the basics, because that basics is what's common,
exactly.
I think, in what you're saying is, in your book, you're saying the basics is what's common with everybody. Find common ground and you can live more peacefully, instead of splitting yourself up and saying, oh, but these are the extra things that you have to do too to be able to be a Catholic or a
exactly.
Jew or whatever. And
exactly.
those extra things is what gets us so messed up, I think.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, now that time is really shifting so much, as we see people falling away from some religions, they're still grasping with their own mortality, with their own beliefs of the world around them. And when they fall away from one thing, if they're so flying out there in the spiritual world that they can't connect with something, that's sometimes when they pull on to these other beliefs of some of these other religions, or pull on to the dogma or the power that some of these other egos may have. And that's really hard to be, because, as you've said many times in your book, you know, prayer can lead you astray or prayer can keep you together. And by lack of prayer, that's when you get led astray. And,
right.
you know, prayer every day and being a ritual.
And faith.
For whatever
faith.
They believe.
You have
what keeps
to have
you.
Faith. You said about the person who said, God doesn't love me. There is a whole section in Quran about Moses teaching the patience. When calamity hits you, you have to wait and see, maybe that happened because something better. There is a whole section in Quran about that. That Moses took someone, wanted to get on the boat. Moses said no. The person gets upset. It turns out that the boat had a hole in it, and the king was confiscating all the boats, and in the long run, it was better for him. Or if a lot of stories like that teaches us that if something calamitous happens to us, we have to firstly do whatever we can, then we have to surrender and leave it to God. And we'll see the result is 100 million times better than all of this apparatus and going to listening to these churches and mosques and see what to do and going to court. God is the ultimate power. He can do everything. Now, you can't lose your faith because something bad happened to you. You have to know, you have to have enough faith to know that this happened to you for a reason. And if you have faith, you will see that the same thing that happened to you, this was because something better. You have to have faith that this happened because something better is going to happen to me. If you don't lose faith and you'll be steadfast in your belief in God, you will definitely, I have experienced that personally and I've seen it, you will definitely see that it is not that God wants people to be unhappy. He wants everyone to be prosperous and happy. It's just the greedy people that come in and take away from the rights of the others. Other than that, if we could make everybody righteous, there would be no wars, there would be no killing. This, we cannot give satisfaction to ISIS, for instance, and by calling them Muslims. They're not Muslims. What kind of a Muslim is that? There's not one thing in Quran that these people are following. Not one. Just because they're flying a flag, writing on it, there's something about God. There's no God, but only the only God. That doesn't make them righteous. These people are nothing but common murderers and thieves. And that's how they should be treated, as such as instead of.
Well, let's speak for a second about prayer. You talk about prayer in your book, and a lot of times, you know, you speak also the experience of God gives us grace. Most people say, "What is grace?" You know, I don't know. Is grace mean I should, empty out my bank account every week when it's Sunday, or does grace mean that? I should open up my doors and live as a person who is a martyr also. And that's not really what grace is. You know, so many times people will say, I don't know what that means. But when they're looking for the answers, they're looking for it in what other people specify as grace instead of what it should be as grace, correct?
Grace is the serenity of your soul. If you know that you are doing the, let's say, 7 commandments, and you haven't done anything wrong, you have your soul, no matter who thinks what you did is right or wrong, has nothing to do with money. When I say be a charitable giver, doesn't have to be money. You can go see a grandfather that you never have time to see, or wipe somebody's tears. These are all giving. Giving means, charitable giver means giving of your time as well. If you have money, give of your money. If you don't have money, give of your time. Give up your time. Give. Help the needy. Read to the people who are in hospice. Do volunteer work. But you can't really call yourself righteous if you don't do any of the commandments. And money is not going to really make you a righteous person, nor it would make you a bad person if you knew how to spend it and how to give the poor, and then how to help the needy. Grace is when you are totally serene in your heart, you are spiritual, you know God, and you pray to Him all the time. Praying is not asking Him what to do. Praying is, first of all, He wants us, for some reason we cannot know, He wants us to regard Him as the ultimate power. He wants us to, we can ask Him what He wants for us. The best prayer that Christ did, was doing, he was always saying that, Your will, God, my will only if Your will. I would like this, but only if Your will. So grace is when you experience God within your heart, and you always do. Miracles, you have to believe. The more you believe in miracles, the more miracles happen to you. The more you open your heart to God, the more you feel God. You have to first take the first step of having faith, total faith, and opening your heart towards the higher power, without labeling yourself Catholic or Christian or this. Because what happens when people see what happened in Catholic Church, immediately they change their minds about Catholics. I mean, when they see the pedophile, they think that, oh, okay, this was a leader of the church who became a pedophile. No, he was not religious. He probably just went, became a priest, or he was never righteous to begin with, or he wouldn't do the biggest sin that they would, that one would commit, Christ said, is to make the little children do something wrong. So what Catholic priests, a few of them do, is basically tarnishing the name of Christians. It's not, they're not following what Christ says, they're not following what God wants. They're just, we have to recognize the difference between these two groups. People divide in two groups, in my opinion, which is believers and unbelievers. It has nothing to do with the race, what color they are, if they're Arabs or if they're Jewish as ethnicity, or the others. That they only divide in two parts, believers versus unbelievers. And as far as I'm concerned, those Catholic priests that committed those sins, they're not believers. ISIS is not believers. Mujahideen were not believers. Khomeini was evil, I think, because what he did, he killed so many innocent people. He killed everybody with such a way, you know, beheading them, hanging them from the crane in the streets. I was in 1979, I had finished my college in the United States, and I went to Iran. And I was there when I saw firsthand the atrocity. Mm-hmm. The atrocity of people that call themselves religion is probably one of the most degrading thing you can do to the religion. There's one thing that somebody is a serial killer, goes kills. Another thing is to call them yourself religion and say that because I'm religious, I'm doing it. Where in Quran says, or Bible, or New Testament, Old Testament, where does it say that you should kill people? Never.
Right.
During King David, Moses, and Muhammad, it was only getting rid of unbelievers. That was their mission. But right now, as you and I are speaking, there's hardly anybody that are unbelievers. Even the ones that are atheists, they have to abide by, we are a civilized country, they have to abide by laws. So there should be no killing in the name of religion anywhere.
Yeah, and then you look at it, and then they turn around, and the killing turns out to be, well, we'll just leave it up to the politics, to the laws of the land. And they throw, you know, in other words, it's like a bouncing ball. They'll just throw it to the next person to be able to throw the blame on someone else.
That's
and,
right.
You know, that's so difficult, I think, that I live in New Orleans, and I can honestly tell you, not a day goes by nor a night that there's not killings in this town. And it's just that they have taken the world in which they believe, and they have disregard for the human person anymore.
Well, it's one of the commandments not to kill. I don't understand what kind of, when the commandments of God says in every, all the prophets say the same thing, don't kill, don't steal, don't lie. So killing itself is they're already breaking a commandment. And God says if you break a commandment, it's really hard. You can only repent while you're alive. That's why prayer is for. Not only just asking for things, but you have to repent. Every day you have to repent for what you have done. Acknowledge the fact that evil exists. By ignoring the fact that, being dismissive about it and saying he doesn't exist, he's not going to, that's not right. You have to acknowledge he exists, and you have to prevent him from entering your life. Wherever there's anger and animosity, there evil exists. And you have to ward off, one of the commandments is ward off evil. If somebody comes at you and he's angry with you, if you become angry, it's like a cold. You're catching his disease. You have
right.
to just let it go. You have to be, and when you do, after once or twice you do, you see how nice you feel about yourself instead of getting mm-hmm. all worked out and wanting to fight and wanting to take them to court. If you do forgive, if you forgive people, you see how easy it is and how much really helping God helping you is something that is very personal. Your relation to God is so personal that only you and only you would find out how much He's helping you. When you do good. Yes.
But also, too, I think when you avoid evil, you also disseminate the evil because you don't give it the power in which it is commanding. So
right.
if I'm sitting here and I'm all angry and someone walks in the house and then they're really nice, and if they don't fuel your anger, you're just, I mean, like, you're just going to go off on more and more anger. But you know, eventually you will either choose to leave the situation or you will choose to take your anger elsewhere because, you know, it's really about being in your power of yourself.
Exactly.
I think what we have really come to in many areas is that, and I can tell you in my area, there is a lack, when they were born, they came in with a lack of respect for God and the spiritual being, and they just believed that they were born, they were put on this earth to take what they can get, do what they want. And I've even heard, gosh, now that I just said that, this same person that said to me that God hasn't been helping them, they're...
How does he know?
I know.
Patience. They have to have patience. It's one
but
of the biggest...
I think this is where they get stuck, is that they believe that if I have pain and I tell God to take it away, that I shouldn't have pain. And I had said to them, this group of people, I said, well, are you saying to me then that life should always be comfortable? It should never be uncomfortable. You should never have disease. You should never have pain. You should never have lack. You should never have anything. You should always have whatever you want. And they said, yes, I should have what I want. If I want to drink soda, 4 liters of it a day, I'm going to do it no matter what because that's what I want. And then when I get sick from it, well, God better fix me because that's what I want.
No.
And
you
it's
to,
so
yeah.
that and that taken in a simpler context, and you can take it in exactly the same correlation context is to these people killing around the world because it is very, very same thing. It's just on the degree in which they're executing that's it's almost like it's the same playbook, you know,
yes.
because they're just so far on the other end that they just cannot see.
Right. They don't believe in God. If they believed in God, they wouldn't kill. This is the very commandments, thou shall not kill. There's
but they're
no
also
reason.
Killing themselves. And they're also killing the people around them by spewing their negativity. See, so they're not only physically killing, they're not physically maybe stepping out and doing that action, but they are physically and killing themselves, but they are also spiritually affecting and affecting other people around them. So they are killing other people's spirits. They're killing other people's joy. They're killing other people's delight. They're killing other people around them. You know what I mean? With
right.
that
yes.
negativity.
Yes.
So in essence, all of those, as you say, non-believers are exactly doing that, correct?
That's right. So if they do, if when one person believes in God and trusts that He is on our side, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And when something happened to them, they have to be patient. You do. I'm not saying that you, if you get stuck in the mud, you have to stay there and say, okay, God, save me. You have to do all you can. But when it gets to a point where you cannot do anything else, you have to surrender. There's no other way around it.
Right.
You have to surrender and leave it to God because there is no power that
mm-hmm.
could save you from any kind of calamity than God. If somebody is sick, for instance, mm-hmm. there has to be a reason. There is a reason. You have to wait believe, pray, see what it is that you have probably done that you're getting punished for. If it's nothing that you have done, you have to do anything you can, and then surrender, and you will see that the very disease, pain, was for a reason. You lose something maybe because God has another plan for you. You can't lose faith as soon as a calamitous situation hits you. You cannot lose faith. You have to be steadfast in your faith until the end. And then you will see. It's not difficult to... I said 3 months, really. I meant 66.6 days. But because I studied numerology, there was a Rashid Khan, which was an Egyptian doctor that wrote, analyzed Quran and believed that Quran was based on number 19. And then Wahhabis, ISIS killed him while he was praying in Arizona and praying in the mosque in Arizona. They cut him into pieces. But all of this, but he was saying that number 19 is, one is number one, nine is number, I'm like in the Bible, it says I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega. So God is first, God is last, and whoever comes in between, they're non-believers. I don't believe that any of these people, I was in Iran when Khomeini came. Nothing about him or his people were godly. Arresting people, killing people, nothing about it. Then he created Mujahideen. Mujahideen became Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood became Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda became ISIS, you know, Al-Zawahiri. So what is going on is they're using Islam and they're using religion, just like crusaders, you know, during the crusade. Mm-hmm. They're using the religion to achieve their worldly power and purpose that they want. It has nothing to do with God. We should not become discouraged because some people are misunderstanding and they want to indoctrinate to you that this is the way God wants. That's not. Let's read. We're all educated people. Let's read these books. Let's understand it. And you realize this is not what God wants. As I said, I never read anywhere in Quran that women should cover their hair. The same way that says in the Old Testament that they should dress modestly, the same way it says in Quran. Now covering your faces or your hand should be cut off because you steal. None of this is in Quran. If you read it, you'll see how close to Christianity and Judaism he is. He talks about Moses and Jesus all the time in Quran.
Now, you know, Sherry, we're almost coming to the end of the show. You know, I really find it so interesting that... you know, I had a dream the other night, and I was just walking, and I would see all of these people just screaming out and wailing in pain and suffering. And I go, I understand that they are looking for something, just as you've said, is they're looking for someone or something to pull them out of their suffering, but really their suffering is their own of their own making. But if someone is suffering because they have cancer, their suffering is the dissonance, because other people who are believers still have cancer, but they just believe and still continue to go,
right.
You know, and have cancer with grace and believing. You know, in other words, the world is not... the non-believers are not those in pain and those wailing and those feeling all of these grave stuff. And then the believers are not those walking the earth with all of the wealth and never getting sick and having everything they want in a
That's
minute
right.
with a miracle.
That's, but That's, everything's for
yeah.
the least. Yes.
Right.
And yes, everything. And there's hunger for spirituality amongst people.
Mm-hmm.
And they go look everywhere for it, whereas they should really sit, meditate, and find God within themselves and find out how easy it is the way to God. You know, when Jesus says the narrow path can't get you to God, meaning that you stay in the moment. Staying in the moment, thinking everything that you do, every prayer is going to be affected and God is going to grant it if it's meant to be. And if it doesn't, then you have to surrender. There is no other way around it. We are looking for happiness everywhere but within ourselves.
And happiness can be found in the face of the worst challenges. And you can still be sitting there in horrendous body pain and still have happiness that the sun came up. In other words, we're looking at the wrong thing because we're expecting happiness to only come with all the bells and whistles and with pink bows and flowers and make sure that it's, you know, coming down the street in a big brand new Caddy. That's not what happiness, what we're saying. Happiness is in the simple of the life, in the simple of the spirit. It's not, you know, and prosperity is that I'm wealthy today because I'm able to sit here and see the sun. That's the simpleness of the world. So really what it's taking it down to is all of the books and even your book is really bringing it back to the simpleness of life and the spirit and let all this other stuff is earthly.
Yes. I couldn't have said it better.
And it's a tough place to be because we are on the human realm right now, and that's a tough place to be because so many are believers that we're here and they're just trying to do their best. And I think really what you're saying in the whole book is do your absolute best and just keep going because,
and
you know,
surrender to God.
We can still have these things happen to us, you know, earthquakes. I mean, they're all over the world these days. You know, I just looked before the show. There's all of these volcanoes and earthquakes, and it's like, do the best you can because if you're in a location, it's not, you know, it's just a process.
It's just God's willing, you know, whatever God wants. You have to trust Him, leave your life in His hands, do whatever, don't be idle. Do whatever it needs to be done for your cancer, for this, for that. And then the rest, you leave it to God. You tell Him. It's very important to talk to God. You have to constantly talk to God. That's all the prayer is about. Jewish people do one day, Saturday, Muslims do Friday. But this is not a weekend God. You can talk to God all the time. And that's by itself is prayer. Just recognizing that He is the higher power is a prayer. You don't have to bow down every day five times. That was for people who were illiterate. They had to have certain structure to do this. Now we are educated people. We are in a civilized world, and we have to read these books objectively, see what God means. When you pray, that doesn't mean you have to necessarily what you have to do. Just you can pray while you're driving. You can talk to God while you're there. He listens, believe me. Another thing is that miracles and prayers, the more you notice, the more it happens to you.
Yeah.
The more you open your heart, the more you feel God inside you.
And also to believe in the smallness of how we are small with the earth, believe smallness of the things that are the greatness of the world. It's not going to just shower you and you're going to win the lottery tomorrow and your whole life will be great.
You have to work for it. That's right.
Well, Cherie, it has been a pleasure to talk to you today. We haven't even stopped talking.
I'm ready whenever you are. I'll be here. Call me back if you like. I'd love to.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you so much. It was very pleasure talking.
Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That would be wonderful.
Yes. Thank you very much, Doctor. What kind of a doctor are you?
Natural medicine.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
Well, Cherie, do you have a website?
Yes. I have a website for the book that is sevencommandments.com. And I have a Twitter that's at 7 C-O-M-M book.
Very good. And what we will do is we will put the link to your website on the bottom of today's show page so the listeners will be able to find that for more information.
Thank you, Doctor. You're so pleasant.
Oh, thank you.
Talking to you.
Yeah, and to you as well. So, Cherie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thanks. Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Bye.
If you'd like to find out more information again about Cherie Brown, the book is The Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity. The link is on the bottom of today's show page. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure to have you with us here today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and until tomorrow, have a great day.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit www.drjeanettewellness.com to schedule a phone appointment today with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.